This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to another week of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. I'm Noomi.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And let's dive in to the week's tech news that we've found interesting, exciting, slash funny. This first story I love because it's one of those headlines where you go, hang on a second, is that going to work?
Honestly, when you sent this to me, I had a look and I was like, why? What is the reason? But when you read into it, it kind of makes sense.
It makes sense. So basically this week on Tuesday, the world's first wooden satellite went to space. So it was designed by Japanese researchers called LignoSat is the name of the satellite. It has been flown to the International Space Station before it will be released into Earth's orbit. So my first question was, is that going to work? And it obviously has worked because it's got there.
Yeah. And it sounds like this must have been in the works for a while as well. I wonder what made them come up with that idea.
Yeah. So it looks like this is like you said, you know, once you kind of dive into it, it checks out. The idea is that wood is more durable material in space than it is on Earth because obviously there's no water or oxygen in space. So it wouldn't rot or burn up, you know, like wood products can get damaged on Earth. Those factors aren't there. So whilst we think of it as a not very durable material here, in space it is. And then also, you know, there's a big conversation in the space industry of space junk and wastage when you put satellites into orbit or you're testing satellites, rockets, what have you. A lot of stuff ends up in Earth's orbit. And obviously, if it's metal, it's not going anywhere because, again, no oxygen. So stuff isn't degrading. It's just floating. You remember the film Wall-E?
Yeah, right. Okay, this is actually embarrassing for me, but I've heard so much about that film and I've never actually watched it.
Oh, Harriet!
So embarrassing. I know.
Okay, your homework for this weekend is to watch Wall-E because there's this really great scene when Wall-E leaves Earth to go find the humans. He, like, has to punch through this huge layer of junk around the planet. And this is obviously far off into the future where, you know, it's the world has become a consumerist nightmare. But I think it's a really good, you know, I always think about that when we're talking about space and the space industry as a thing of like, we need to not make that a reality, you know, just clutter the outside of our planet with crap.
I guess in a sense, we're kind of doing that, right? This is just what I've read, like up there, there's so many random satellites that we've just fired up that might not even be used anymore. And they're just going to like circle the Earth's orbit
forever. Whereas a wooden satellite, you could just make it, you know, alter its orbit a little bit, go into the Earth's atmosphere and it'll just burn up.
Right. That's pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a really good idea. I mean, I wouldn't have come up with it. So I don't know. I think it's really cool. And I like how they've used like a native tree to Japan as well. Yeah. Where's it, the magnolia tree?
Yeah, I think that's really cute. And I like the manager of the research institute, the Sumitomo Forestry Tsukuba Research Institute, Kenji Kariya, he said, it may seem outdated, but wood is actually cutting edge technology as civilization heads to the moon and Mars. And I just think it's a really great story. You know, this is one of the great things about engineering and innovation is sometimes you think you've moved past something and evolved or innovated past something. And then it's like, no, actually, wood's back in, baby.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, when you think about it, right, what grows from plastic? Nothing, right? What grows from like wood? It's like organic matter at the end of the day. So it makes sense if you want to create some type of like life on another planet, you would send something that maybe could eventually grow something else.
Like literally, they said that an astronaut who studies at Kyoto University, Taiko Doi, in this article said using renewable materials will allow humans to build houses, live and work in space forever.
Forever. Slightly scared. Sold. Send me on a piece of wood to Mars.
Put me in a canoe and fire me away.
Sorry, I've just got this really weird image now. I think we're peddling through the sky.
I think we should Photoshop me in a canoe just in space.
Slingshot. Just use sling.
Or like a cannon from a circus.
Did you ever see, I can't remember why, but there's a Tesla car. Is it orbiting the moon?
Oh, yeah.
But it's because Elon Musk is random, that's why.
It's cluttering, right? That's now stuck up there forever. Like, I know there's the whole, like, renewable, energy, because it's electricity, electric vehicles and that. But when it comes to this type of stuff, I don't think we think of the life cycle. At least this wooden canoe is going to disintegrate.
Yeah, exactly. So I really like that story, and I'm excited to see the innovative wooden space products that we're going to get.
Maybe not a rocket
to Mars. Never know. I've been wanting to go to Mars for years. I had this whole like phase a few years ago when I'd just be like, yeah, we're going to go to Mars soon. We go to Mars. And then it never happened. And now I feel like everyone's talking about it again.
Maybe your dreams are going to come a reality soon.
I'd go. Send me up. I have an engineering degree. Anyone listening, please, I can help build things.
She's ready. Strap her in the canoe.
I'll be a pick me girl for Mars.
Love it. Just film some TikToks on that vein and, SpaceX will be sliding in the DMs before
you know. I don't know on a boat. Yeah, true. But I don't know if me and Elon Musk could go on or not.
Mate, Elon Musk isn't going. We're just going to talk about this next one briefly because it's a very short story, but kind of funny. How much would you pay for a URL?
You know what? I've bought a URL in the past and I think the most I've paid is like when it's the cheap ones, like $5, like I live in America. It's not even. No, sometimes you get them for free, don't you? Sometimes it's like £1, MP. Go on, give us the number.
OpenAI has apparently just purchased a URL for more than $10 million.
Damn, okay. They've got a lot of money to spend.
They're valued at $6.6 billion. So I guess $15 million for them is like nothing.
$5.
$5. It's the same price to them. But they have apparently purchased chat.com.
Okay.
So it automatically routes now to ChatGPT. It's apparently part of their strategy to kind of rebrand their efforts to make it, like a bit less convoluted. Because I personally do find it very difficult to say ChatGPT quickly. It's like the Aperte song from Rosé and Bruno Mars.
But when it calls it, I guess you can't just call it chat to begin with because no one's going to know what that is. Mm.
But maybe now that is what it's going to be. People will just refer to it as chat.
That's crazy though. Like 15.5 million. Maybe we need to start purchasing domain names.
Yeah. Just turn it into a business. Just buy all the single.
Do that. Yeah. Or they wait for like big sites to forget to renew their subscription
and then hold it hostage. And then
literally.
So there's an idea for you if you're listening at home.
Go for it. Go become a URL scammer.
All right, do you want to tell me about this next story?
Yeah, so I'm actually quite excited for this. I know we've talked a lot about, AI helping cancer research and sort of helping not cure cancer, but treat cancer. So now there's actually a new thing that's come out and it's like how iPhones could be used by nurses to rule out throat cancer. Now, this one isn't actually using AI. This one is actually using a piece of equipment that you attach to your phone. So at the moment, there's a bit of a backlog in detecting cancer, especially throat cancer, because the way they do it, they usually have to put this camera down a patient's throat to have a little look inside. But what someone's invented is essentially a device that can clip into your phone and help the doctor do that without you having to go into the appointment.
Yeah. Because obviously, you know, sometimes with this specialist equipment, it's not at every doctor's surgery, or sometimes it's not even at every hospital. So you have to, there's a backlog to go to these certain places to get these appointments. Whereas if, you know, everyone's got an iPhone, so if you just send them this adapter to them, then the nurse or the doctor can use it in that surgery. It's really cool.
Yeah, so it's called an endoscope eye adapter and it can be attached to an iPhone. It's got a 32mm lens, endoscope eyepiece and an accompanying app that allows nurses to capture images and share them with specialists via secure cloud. My first question when I read that, though, as an Android developer is, I hope they've only not just developed this for iPhone. iPhone is more of a premium device, right? And you are literally locking out part of the market.
It's true.
It's like that nurse has an iPhone.
Yeah, it's true. So hopefully that, you know, that's either in the works or they're thinking about it. Because that is a good
point. There's a trial, 1,800 patients have taken part and they've been cleared of throat cancer within a few days, enabling clinicians to focus on the smaller numbers of people that have been diagnosed with cancer. So it sounds like this is a really good thing. And you know what? I'm glad that we're finally moving towards using these mini supercomputers we have in our pocket to do this type of work. Because sometimes when you go to the doctors, I see the receptionist clicking about and sometimes they're really, really old computers and a really cold software. If you've got a piece of software and a really good like device in your pocket, why are we not using that?
Yeah, because if you think about IT infrastructure across the NHS, it's a really big challenge to update those systems. Like there are thousands of computers using software. Like if you were a company tasked with upgrading the NHS IT infrastructure, it would be a multi-million dollar project.
Yeah.
App development, on the other hand, is faster, easier to innovate and iterate. So I think it's really exciting. Like you say, we've got these supercomputers in our pockets. Let's blooming use them.
Also, from an electronics perspective as well, right? At the end of the day, a mobile's kind of like an embedded system. It's just sort of developed a lot quicker than maybe other ones. Mm. We're making, like, I don't know, smart endoscopes, we say, that can connect to these, like, mobile phones that we've got. Again, if we can do it with that, we can do it with a lot of other things too. Mm-hmm. And all that needs to be done then is that data just needs to be input into the systems that already exist if we can't actually upgrade them.
Yeah.
And we're good to go.
And there's, you know, you see apps that are started to use like the infrared sensors built into the phone or like the flashlight to measure stuff. And, you know, we've already got lots of sensors in smartwatches. I think it would be really interesting if we get into this mindset of, well, how do we use the tools that we've already got built into this device for, you know, how do we almost hack them or repurpose them for something different that could be, you know, medical?
The only limitations we've got is some of these sensors aren't the highest quality, like they're not calibrated as well as they might be in office, but they could point you in the right direction, be like, oh, okay, something's changed, maybe I should go and make an appointment and actually go see someone about this. But we should start using it.
Love it.
This last story is...
This is so random.
So, again, one of those ones where you read the headline and you're like, what?
Hey?
Harriet, please tell me. Please read the headline for me.
Right, the headline reads, bees scupper Mark Zuckerberg's plan for a nuclear-powered AI sensor. Can you hear me? What does this mean?
Do you know the Cards Against Humanity card that's just like, bees? It's literally that. So, you know, there is a big discussion at the moment, and I think that more people need to talk about it, is the computational power and the energy required to run AI. Like, people are, you know, churning away stupid stuff on ChatGPT and DALL-E and what have you, not knowing the obscene amount of energy it's consuming.
Yeah.
Like, if we keep going where we're just messing about, this is quite serious, but I do mean it with my chest, we will end up in an energy crisis because we're farting around with computers.
I guess at some point, right, because we tend to do this like throughout technology development and throughout history, like we'll probably manage to reduce that energy load somehow, but we're not quite there yet. And we need to be able to get there before we create this crisis.
Yeah, exactly. So Meta are talking about that already. So they're talking about building a nuclear-powered AI data center. So,
okay, I'm just imagining some wild, crazy film coming out about this and how it destroys the world. But sorry, continue.
But the idea is that it's going to be a cleaner way to meet the AI target, so that, you know, they can satisfy the demand without scuppering. Also, because a lot of these companies have now got net zero pledges, and then they're like, oh wait, we're also developing all these tools that really affect that.
I'm not net zero.
So they've got these plans for a nuclear powered AI data center, which is funny because it's like they're trying to do a good thing for the environment, but they're not allowed to build it because the planned data center, the site, is too ecologically important to build on because of a rare bee species that lives there.
I mean, you know what? Save the bees. Right?
Save the bees.
You've been saying this for years. And that's one trying to get rid of the bees.
That's what they've done. So I respect it because they've said, right, we're not going to do it because we're going to save the bees. But I do appreciate the irony that they're trying really hard to think about the environment, and the environment's gone, thank you, but also...
No, I'm sure they'll find another site to build it on. And to be fair, like, we could build as many nuclear power plants as we want, but if there are no bees, there's no life. I'd watch those little documentaries. No, bees are a big, big thing. They pollinate everything, don't they?
We know how important the bees are. So if you're planning on building a data center anytime soon, check for bees.
That's such a funny, like, thing to happen, though. Like, it's, yeah, very ironic.
Can you imagine? It's like, it's also nowhere near on their list of things. You know, I bet, again, the planning for something like this is probably so intense. The amount of work you have to do and surveying of the area and designing the systems and everything. And I bet they were just like, this has come out of nowhere. They're just, I can imagine, like, someone with a clipboard and a hard hat on the site, and then this, like, bee buzzes past. They're like, oh, damn it.
To be fair, I've not really considered the amount of energy we've been using on AI. So even having this discussion today is making me walk away thinking about it, because it is a bit crazy, especially with like quantum computing coming around as well. And like, yeah, I think people don't realize how much effort it takes just to generate these like responses to like a simple question.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not anyone's fault, because no one's, you know, you might not have been told that there is this cost, but I think it's really important that people do know that. And then it's like, it becomes any kind of environmental conscious thing. You know, it becomes almost like when you're choosing to recycle something, or you're choosing to alter your commute to use a more green function. I have started using ChatGPT less because I'm conscious of like, am I just being lazy if I use that? Yeah. You know, like, I'm only going to use it for stuff where I really need to, because I'm aware of that energy cost.
That's very, very self-aware of, you know, I mean.
But maybe what they should do, I mean, they might not do this because it might stop them from using the product, but maybe OpenAI should have like a little thing on ChatGPT that says, you know, maybe before you prompt, like, you write your prompt and then you go, this prompt will cost blah, blah, blah in kilowatt hours or whatever, however you want to, whatever unit you want to use, or will use 10,000 trees or whatever. And then people could go, is it worth it? And most people will go, I do want to,
They'll be like, what's a kilowatt?
Write my essay for me.
Like, they'll literally be Googling, what does this disclaimer mean that you've sent to me?
Right. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. If you want to find us on socials, where are we, Harriet?
We are on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube. Just look for Tech Girl Energy and we are there.
See you next week.
Bye.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.